You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Welcome in on the Civic Media Radio Network. Indeed, as you heard the big voiceover guy say, it is Make the Call, as we are broadcasting all over the Civic Media app, which you can download for free at civicmedia.us/app, or find it in your device's app store, wherever you can find anything with Civic Media. We are everywhere, and we are happy to have you along for this Memorial Day weekend here on the network. I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director here at Civic Media, and we are getting set for a big weekend in sports. It's the unofficial kickoff to summer, and we have a lot of cool things we want to talk about today, and I'll welcome aboard my co-host here in just a second, but first just want to say, with it being Memorial Day, just want to make sure that we all take a moment and remember the sacrifices of everybody who's come before and served in our armed services and gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. So I just want to make sure we note that here on this Memorial Day, our thoughts with everyone here on this Memorial Day. But it is a sports show, and we do have some fun here, and that is what we're here to do for the next hour or so. And with that, I welcome in from our headquarters in Madison, Parker Vertical Olson. Parker, what's up, man?
Oh, not too much. I'm trying to remember how I got the nickname Vertical Olson, to be honest with you. I do not remember at all.
Back to the NFL draft, and we are talking about what combine event we would do best in, and you picked vertical jump, so that's where it comes from.
That was an option.
That's all right. We know where Gray Gunderson gets his inside joke name from. Gray, upper management. He makes more than I do, I'm sure. Look at that. He's not even on the video today because he is just straight up audio calling us, which that's a boss move. And that's Gray up in the Northwoods. Gray, welcome aboard, man.
The assistant to the manager. Thank you so much, Jimmy. I appreciate the extended intro. We'll find out the answer to the questions we have one day. We had Parker's answer ready, but yeah, where my name comes from, I'm not ready to talk about it.
Well, your name comes from a job promotion announcement at the beginning of the year, so creative or very inside, but
you're ready to talk about it. All right. The illusion is shattered.
I'm not ready to talk about anything. It's Memorial Day weekend. I'm chill. We got representatives from the Northwoods, from the headquarters of the capital city, and myself from the Driftless area of Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin. So we've got all parts of the state covered, and we've got a lot to talk about today. I'm going to dive right in. So if you're listening to the show for the first time, we do a segment called the Top 8 at 8. That's because this show airs at 8 in the morning in its live version on Saturday. And what we do in the Top 8 at 8 is we take the 8 top sports or not sports stories from the week and we recap it in a very exciting, thrilling, in-depth, all that. What else we got to sell the show as? Insightful, analytical, all these cool things we get to tag to the show. But we do it in a fun way. And what we do is we do the Top 8 at 8. We start with number 8. And we caught our way to number 1. Before we get to it, just a reminder, Mike Clemens will join us later in the show. He'll get us back on track with the actual sports knowledge that you're all tuning in for today. But number 8 in the Top 8 at 8. And I had to ask this because earlier this week in a Brewers game, they scored on a Little League home run, which I thought was amazing. All right, because I see this all the time in my kids' Little League. It's the only way they can't hit the ball over the fence. This is how they score home runs. But I thought about what's the most odd or maybe the most fun way that you could score points in a contest. So I thought Little League home run was pretty fun. What about you guys?
I've got one ready immediately with the 1 point safety. It's actually only theoretically possible. It's part of the NFL rule book, but it's actually only occurred in college football up till now. So basically, a team scores a touchdown. Doesn't matter how offense, special teams return, whatever. Say the Packers score a touchdown, for example. The Packers go for an extra point conversion. But, oh no, it goes wrong, and the defense winds up with the ball. But the defense brings the ball out of the end zone and then is tackled back in the end zone. The Packers get 1 point as a safety, a 1 point safety. It's why? I think it's like the appendix of the rule books at this point. You could get rid of it and no one would even know.
I dream of the day I get to see that happen. I want to see a 1 point safety live so badly. I'm going to go, fellas, you know, I played tennis. A way to score a point in tennis. Just a regular point. If you happen to be up at the net, you get lobbed, you have to run backwards away from the net, hit the ball between your legs. That is called a tweener. And I would love to do that someday, although my playing career is done. So I think I'm done. Not going
to
happen.
Well, we go from tennis to pickleball, right? So you're at pickleball age, right? Is that what the transition is for you?
You know, one of our other producers here in Madison, Dom, does play pickleball, actually. So I think he might have a spot for me on his team.
There you go. Well, mine, obviously, is a special teams coordinator in football. I am a big fan of the fair catch free kick. So that, to me, is something we actually have in our playbook. We actually converted a drop kick a few years ago. But we do. I think the fair catch free kick was just done by the Chargers a year or two ago in the NFL by Cameron Dicker from the Chargers. I think that's one of my favorite things. It's just anything you can do to kick for points is great. That's why the Rouge in Canadian football is so awesome to me. It's just a way to kick and get points. I'm all for it in a game that has literally foot in the name of the sport. So I'm good with that. Number 7 in the top 8-8. I'm asking this because it's a big motorsports weekend. The Indy 500 is coming up. And I have to ask, if you won the Indy 500, what beverage would you chug after winning the race?
Get me one of those Trader Joe's coconuts that has like the conical cut on top and a plastic tap that you have to hammer in and just, and yeah, a little trickle of coconut water, anticlimactic as it gets. Parker, you can't help but one-up me with that one. What do you got?
I was going to go with chocolate milk. I like chocolate milk. No, I can put a little umbrella in there if you want.
Jimmy, please class us up at all. Please.
I'm not classing us up at all. I would just totally go the opposite direction. Those little plastic little barrels, little juice barrels with the foil lids. That's
hugs.
What I'd be slamming after winning.
They're called hugs.
Fun. Yeah. Just lob them like grenades and like you know, like the baseball celebration at home plate already just falls. You know, they all fall to the side when you lob it. That's my dream. If I ever win anything beyond a go-kart race, that would be my dream beverage. Although, as a Wisconsin guy, I think politically I'd have to go with milk, right? Because, you know, they'd expect a guy from Wisconsin to go with milk. And that's one of the only things I'm known for is drinking milk. So, you know, so yeah, it'd probably be chocolate milk for me too, to be honest. But I would want to have some fun with it for sure. All right. Well, speaking of that, number 6 in our top 8-8, it's the start of summer. It's the big weekend for sports as we get going. We've gone through 2 months of the baseball season. We are into NBA, NHL finals. You've got golf. You've got everything going on right now. I have to ask you guys, what are you watching or listening to this weekend in terms of sports? What is it, when you're not out, you know, grilling out, when you're not out doing whatever, what is on your TV or radio this week?
You better believe, boys, that I am tuning in for the Weenie 500. I want to watch those Oscar Mayer Wienermobiles go around the Indy 500 track. It is one of the best spectacles there is, and I am ecstatic.
I firmly believe if what you want from this life doesn't hurt anybody, you should be able to enjoy it. And so, Parker, you do that.
Thank you.
Nice way of saying you're crazy, Parker. You're crazy, man.
With all the bless your heart energy I can muster, please enjoy the Weenie 500.
I will.
We'll be on the road this weekend. We're actually helping a family member move. So for me, it's Brewer Radio all the way. It's going to be a great weekend listening to the Brewers take on the Dodgers, no matter what happens. Just trying to travel safe and getting a little bit of work done on a holiday weekend. Jimmy, how about you?
This is the one weekend where I actually will put on motorsports. I'm not a big motorsports guy myself. I grew up around a lot of dirt tracks in northern Wisconsin, so I've been on a lot of demo derbies. I've raced go-karts in my life, but this is like one of those weekends where I feel like just chilling out and watching an hour or two of a race is so fun because motorsports is in person is a blast. But just a weekend where if there's nothing else going on, you have a minute to yourself between everything you're doing. The Coca-Cola 600, the Indy 500, it's definitely something I'll flip on if I happen to be near a TV. But like everybody in Wisconsin, when we get to summer, it's all about the Brewers and baseball on the radio. Without any local interest in the NHL or NBA playoffs, I'm definitely on the side of baseball this time of year, much like you guys. Let's move to number 5 in the top 8-8. I keep saying it's summer beginning this week, right? So I got to ask now, what's the sporting event you're looking forward to this summer the most?
That I'm going to? I'm going to be going to.
You're looking forward to the most. It doesn't have to be one you're going to. It can be anything.
I'm looking forward to. You know what? I'm going to go Little League World Series. Little League World Series is one of my favorite sporting I guess it's an event, but it's a couple of weeks, I think 2 week long thing. I think it's just baseball in its purest form. Those get their kids. They're like 9 to 12 year olds, if I remember right. They've got no money in the game. They're just doing it because they're having a good time, and it shows. They have a lot of fun, and it's always a good couple of weeks of ESPN stuff there.
For me, quite predictably, it's the NFL calendar coming up here in early summer. For me, it's going to be OTAs and tryout results and all the speculation. And then I'll get sick of it probably about July, right before preseason actually starts in August. And we get some meat and potatoes there to add to the plate. So, again, predictable, but where else was I going to go?
Yeah, I think for me, I think the obvious answer is I'm going to be at a billion baseball games this summer, right? But I want to go off the grid a little bit. I'll just say I'm just looking forward to be able to play games in my lawn without it being like, you know, frost. You know, like if I put down a coupe set, I'm not going to have to battle, you know, being 38 degrees outside and freezing, or, you know, cornhole or whatever. I just want to get outside and just be outside and enjoy it. So not really sports, but just stuff I can do. But yeah, baseball's probably up there for me, given that both my kids are playing it and that we're going to be in the Northwoods League for both baseball and softball quite a bit this summer as well. So I'm going to come visit Parker at Madison Mallard's games this year. We got one booked already. Hey. That's the Big Lebowski night, so can't wait to be there for that. Okay. That's going to be a big one in July for me. All right, well, let's talk some actual sports on a sports show here in the next few minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about the Brewers coming up in a half an hour, but I got to ask here in the number four at the top 8-8. The Brewers have two really awesome pitchers right now. Their ERAs are both under two, and I have to ask, is this a great pitching duo. Who do you think, you know, before this was the best pitching duo the Brewers have had?
I'm not certain, but I think probably Woodruff and Burns, right? They were together, I think, for a year or two, maybe 2 years. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, that tandem was just incredible. I think Burns ended up winning a Cy Young at some point, right? Woodruff, injury riddled as he may have been for these last couple of years, he was hot stuff for a good while there, and he still is. So I don't think that you can beat that duo. And what we've got right here with this current, I mean, Miz leading the way, he's gonna get a ton of attention, but the Brewers have got a lot of arms. I'm not even positive I know which the second one is that Jimmy is referring to, because so many of them are so good, right?
Yeah, well, the Brewers have had just incredible luck. I don't want to say luck, I mean development in the pitching department. They've done such a good job with you know, just having, you know, they seem like they find these pitchers out of nowhere. And you always wonder, before the year, we were asking before the year, like, you know, where are these guys going to come from? Like, how are they going to fill out the pitching rotation? But then you get Kyle Harris and you get Jacob Mizorowski, you know, Brandon Sproat out of nowhere, you know, just guys that are coming in, they're eating innings and they're doing well. You know, again, a couple of guys that are throwing strikeouts, sub two ERAs. It's really exciting times right now for the Brewers, because, and we'll talk a lot more about this in a half an hour, but the fact that we're in this week, and I'll mention this later, we're in this week where they're taking on, at the start of the week, two NL division leaders. They've already swept one. They're already 500 on this swing. Now they get the Dodgers through this weekend. I just think what a great time it is to be a Brewers fan and go into all this. It's just exciting times right now, especially the pitching doing so well. But we do got to change gears just for a bit. We're out of time in this first segment. In the next segment, we're going to talk a little football. We're going to give Gray something to talk about for a little bit here, since I talked all this last segment here. We're going to talk football in the next segment. We'll talk a little bit more Brewers coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. This is Make the Call, the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back, Make the Call. As you heard, it is the Civic Media Radio Network. Jimmy, Gray, Parker here with you. We are counting down in our top 8-8. We're at number 3. And number 3 in the top 8-8, Aaron Rodgers says he's done after this year. It's his final season. So, guys, we have to do the token Wisconsin sports radio thing and ask, what is your favorite Aaron Rodgers memory?
You've got pretty simple. So there are so many. There really are. But I had one that, you know what phrase rings through my mind? He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in him? And my, he did. Richard Rodgers touchdown. Now, should that play have been possible? I'll understand that the Lions fans would say no, but thank goodness it happened, and thank goodness it happened the way it did. But yeah, Parker, you're right. I thought of run the table, relax. I mean, there's moments that aren't even in games. What comes to mind?
Run the table and R-E-L-A-X, relax. I do believe that is exactly how he put it. Yeah, those ones stand out so much to me for whatever reason. I don't really know why. The kind of piggybacking off of that, I believe this was in the same year as relax. The touchdown, or not the touchdown pass, the first down pass to Jared Cook against the Cowboys in the playoffs. I hate to say that beating the Cowboys in the playoffs is that much of a highlight, because I feel like that's an expectation, frankly, for the Packers. But it was one of those. I believe it was third down and 20, and it set up a field goal, I think, for Mason Crosby at the time still.
It did. Yep.
That one stands out as one of the more special catches that I can remember ever coming off of Rodgers throw. Jimmy, what about you?
Well, as a 90s kid, I would say that the Packers beating the Cowboys wasn't a given, considering they had spent so much time to get over that hump, to win that first Super Bowl with Brett Favre. So for me, as someone who grew up in the 90s, like, I hear you say that, I'm like, well, there's the millennial in you, or the whatever generation, whatever is the next after a millennial. There's the younger person after that. But anyway, for me, I love all the off-the-field stuff. I'm a big fan of the pettiness. I'm a big fan of the ayahuasca, the purple crush in the press conference. I love that stuff. Like, believe me, I love it. It's so much fun. Just the stuff with the Bears where he's like, I own you and all that stuff. That to me is that's fun. But obviously for anybody that is, you know, Packers affiliated, holding a Super Bowl trophy has got to be number one. I mean, championship is a goal, and he got it. There's a lot of fun moments with Aaron Rodgers. There's things he does that are just amazing. And I always tell people, like, when we've got, you know, when you've got someone transcendent, you know, when it was Brett Favre, when it was Aaron Rodgers, when it's Giannis in basketball, whatever it is, you got to enjoy it. People get so miserable and they expect so much, and they get so bitter about their team. I remember hosting sports talk radio in that era, and people were like, well, we're never going to win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. We're never going to win a championship with Giannis. Well, you know, it happens, and you just got to kind of enjoy the ride. So when you get those transcendent talents, you know, shut up, enjoy it, and just see where it goes. But I think Rodgers winning the championship, probably the highlight for me. Really cool. I love the off-the-field stuff, though, for sure. Speaking of off-the-field, let's talk about a little bit on the field here. And this is a Greg Gunderson special. I think I'm pretty sure he put this one in here at number two in our top 8-8. Packers OTAs are beginning this week, which means it's going to be our first look at some of the Packers. So we already saw a rookie minicamp, but we get our first look at a few more of the Packers and kind of see where this is all kind of going. I guess I'll just ask you right out, Greg, what are you looking forward to? Are there any positions that you're focused in on?
Yes, absolutely. More position groups than positions, but if you want a specific group of guys, it's the new cornerbacks. We've got two that came in by draft and a couple UDFAs. We traded, brought in St. Juste over from the Chargers, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to do out there in a Packers uniform, because he's huge. We don't do big corners, and St. Juste is 6'4". Like, he's going to stand out literally out there, and I'm excited to see some tight ends get nothing done. I'm so tired of seeing tight ends shred the Packers defense. But also, like I said, it's really the whole defense, because 4-3 versus 3-4, what's an NFL-style defense? New defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon is a big question mark to us for now. Bonus position, running back. Who's going to be up behind Josh Jacobs? Because Emmanuel Wilson is gone. I believe Chris Brooks is still in the room, but does Marshawn Lloyd still exist? There are late UDFAs there too. So kind of a question mark might turn into a nothing burger and Josh Jacobs just has another great season. I pray that's the most boring option on the table. But yeah, I think the big question is just defense in general. And I'm not even going to look at wide receiver. Don't talk to me about that. Parker, that's where you're going to go, isn't it? You're going to bring up Matthew Golden.
No.
I want to say real quick, when you mentioned a 6'4 defensive back, that's like a creative player in Madden.
It is. It's like a joke. It shouldn't be allowed. So if he can use that body in a way that is advantageous to the team, it's tight ends all the way and big bodied receivers.
Okay. I'm not going receivers, actually. Believe it or not, I was going to, as for like a specific person, I want to see how Zaire Franklin kind of meshes with this team. New linebacker that they just brought in, I believe, from the Colts. That was a big pickup that I think that we all kind of got a little bit excited about. I think that's going to be something that, I don't know about turn heads, but it could definitely be a move that maybe at the end of the year you go, that was something that they really needed to do. I do want to say really quick for position group, there's a lot of ifs within this offensive line, right? There's a lot of things going on. You're not sure about some of the specific positions. You need Sean Ryan to be doing well now that he's going to be, in his second year at center, I believe. So a lot of stuff that there is to watch on that offensive line, Jimmy.
I would say for me, it's going to be the defensive front. So interior linemen and edge rushers. It's been a makeover in this whole unit, right? And Gray, back me up a little bit or tell me I'm wrong, but it feels like with Micah Parsons there, it's really changed how they've thought about this unit. And, you know, seeing the people that have left and the people they brought in, it really feels like they've remade this front line. And we only got about a minute here, but that to me is the position group of most intrigue. Obviously, outside of kicker, which is a special teams guy I'm all very excited about, I think defensive line / edge rusher, that front group is going to be really important this year.
I completely agree, Jimmy. And it was one of the things that really confirmed for people that things would be different in some way. Obviously, with Gannon coming in, things are going to change. But one of the only defensive staffers to stay from last year as Jeff Hafley left was DeMarcus Covington, but his position title changed. He went from defensive line coach to outside linebackers coach, which was not a position the Packers have had on staff since they last ran, a defense different than they've been running for the last decade. So it's all about defense for me. And I think a lot of people were scared. Is Micah Parsons going to be covering passes? Okay, yes, occasionally, but it's not going to be like Preston Smith out there way too often. You're going to send Micah after the passer. And he's a good run stopper too. They're going to use him for what he's good at. We don't need to be afraid, but we do need to be looking.
Let's talk some Brewers to wrap up our top edit 8. We'll do that next year on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Halfway through Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Jimmy Cuska, Greg Gunderson, Parker Olson. We are hanging out here on a weekend getting ready to take in a summer full of sports and all the fun that comes with that. Before we dive in here, I just want to mention coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll hear from Mike Clemens. We'll give you a full recap of the weekend sports here in Wisconsin. Mike Clemens will be on the program here in about 20 minutes or so. Right now, though, guys, it's a great opportunity for us to take a look at the first place Milwaukee Brewers. Now, coming into this week, we talked about it last week. They had a really interesting set of like rivalry type games coming up. They had the Twins and the Cubs. Now it's the Dodgers. And they're in a really interesting spot in the schedule. And, you know, we've joked about it at earlier points of the year, like, oh, well, the Brewers are in last place. But, you know, everybody in the division's like five games over 500. And now they find themselves in first place. And again, in a very interesting spot of the schedule, coming off series wins over Padres, Twins, a sweep over the Cubs. And now in the middle of the series against the Dodgers, the Cardinals coming up. Starting on Memorial Day. So I want to start the conversation on this. I'm curious whether you guys think that there's any moves to be made for the Brewers to kind of lock in this top spot, or if you think the moves have already sort of been made based on who's come back from injury or just how the rotation has settled a bit. I realize we're only about a third of the way into the season. What the trade deadline is 2 months from now, never too early to start speculating on what they might do. Just curious on your thoughts about where things are for the Brewers and where they might go. So let's start there. Are there any moves for the Brewers to make here in the near term that kind of keep their spot right now where they are in the standings?
I don't think that I would say that there are any trades that we're going to necessarily see. I think that there might be some call-ups, right? We've talked before about the pitching and how that kind of needed to stabilize a little bit. I think it's found some stabilization, and now they're getting, I believe the schedule has been kind of funky for the Brewers because they've had an off day every week, every week. I think every Thursday or every Monday so far, one of those days during the week, there's been an off day for the Brewers. So there's been a built-in extra little bit of rest for that starting rotation. Now I think they're going to get out of that routine, I believe, either this week or coming up in very near future, that we're going to start to see that. So I'm not quite ready to walk back and saying that the starting rotation needs to stabilize just a little bit. But starting rotations, and obviously, as we already talked about with the start, the duo that they've got right now, how good these guys have been. There's so much depth in this pitching rotation, and the bullpen has been so good. I think that the moves that you might see are going to come from guys getting called up. Jet Williams, somebody I'm looking at right now. Jory Ortiz, I absolutely love your glove. But my goodness, I don't know if he would be hitting better if he brought a toothpick. He's just not doing the job in the batter's box. I would really appreciate some more offensive production out of honestly the entire left side of the infield. Luis Renjifo has had some flashes, but he's not been the greatest. Something else that I would look out for is potentially, and I don't think that this could happen, maybe something at catcher. I'm not 100% sold on Gary Sanchez.
Just to your point on the rest, not this coming week with Memorial Day, but the week after, they don't have a rest day built in. Then they get a few in the month of June, but then June 26th, they don't get a break until the All-Star break. And in that, they have an 11-game road swing right before the All-Star break. I feel like that's where you're going to see him be tested. They go to Arizona, then they go to the Cardinals for a 5-game series because of a rainout earlier this month. And then they have the Pirates right before going into the All-Star break. I feel like that's going to be a key stretch for them, is that late June, early July, where they go from June 26th to July 12th, where they play a game every single day, except for one of the days where they play two. And the MLB rules the maximum of 20-day games in a 20-day stretch or whatever. So they're going to get all of that. But that's going to be a key stretch for them. You're right, though, about the weird schedule they've had early on. They've had a ton of rest days early on, to the point that they played three or four fewer games than some of the other teams in the National League, yet they sit with the third best, by far third best run differential in the National League. So I feel like for them, you know, the rest has definitely been to their advantage as they've built that pitching rotation. But I think things, as you said, Parker, are going to kind of turn around on them here real quick. Gray, how about you? I know you're going to be tuning in to things this weekend. I know that these high leverage matchups early in the year are a lot of fun to follow along with.
Well, and that's something I actually meant to mention earlier, Jimmy, when we were talking about early summer and late summer. I'll be footballing, but the Brewers are going to be a great part. They're sitting in such a great place at the top of the conference right now, so I'm really curious to see how that'll unfold. But one name I'm curious if I'm going to hear, to piggyback off what Parker mentioned there on the left side of the infield, Cooper Pratt. I was talking to Mike Clemens recently, and he mentioned that he thinks it might depend on who gets demoted to see who gets called up. So whether it's Jet Williams or Cooper Pratt, neither name would be a surprise, but it all comes down to, if it's all about batting power, you might argue they demote Ortiz and then call up Pratt instead if you want to really optimize. But hey, I'll trust whatever I see out of the crew right now. They're in good shape, and that's when I start trusting managers. So if I see something I don't understand, yeah, great. I believe in it still.
All right, we've talked about some moves. I want to ask you guys a really hard question. Who's been the biggest breakout for the Brewers this year? Because you've got a couple of really strong options with this. It can be Kyle Harrison, the pitcher, who's got a 1.7 and change ERA. It can be Sal Frelick, who's all of a sudden turned into the best second baseman in baseball. Mizorowski sort of broke out last year in a way. I'm just curious who you think has been the biggest breakout or the biggest, the biggest ascent that the Brewers have had here this season.
I think Terang being the best second baseman in baseball.
I'm sorry, I meant Terang, not Frelick. I'm sorry, yeah. I had the wrong infield.
You're good.
I'm looking at the infield, and I'm looking at the wrong guy. So my bad. Everybody listening is like throwing stuff at the radio right now in their car. Like there's a Stanley mug being whipped right now at the center console. Like I know it right now, somewhere in Wisconsin.
But both of those guys are fantastic options, though, right? Sal Frelick, he needed to settle in a little bit. I kind of wonder if he wasn't 100% healthy. At the beginning of this year, I believe he tweaked a back or something and just kind of took a couple of days off and didn't quite settle in for a little while there. But now he seems to be back to himself. But Sal has been good. Sal's been very good for the Brewers previously. And Terang as well. He's been very good as well. But if you look at him now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe his on-base percentage is like 400 or something like that. So he's already been flashing leather, right? I believe 2 years ago, he won the Platinum Glove best fielder in Major League Baseball. But yeah, now that he's added a bat, I think he's balked a little bit. I think he's got a little bit more power in his bat. He's been absolutely incredible for the Brewers. And I hate to say, I don't want to get into this conversation, but I'm going to bring it up. the Brewers are going to have to make a decision about another good player, and you can't afford him. Do you try to sign him right now for a deal that might not be as expensive as it could be by the end of this year, an extension? Or do you trade early, or do you ride out the whole way through? I don't want to think about that, though. Gray, who is somebody that has taken a leap this year for you?
For me, it's Terang all the way, because watching him feels different. You can just sense from a distance that something is clicked, and he seems to be in that kind of loop where when he plays well, it does something to him that kind of feeds back, and it just gets better and better. And it really depends for me how I feel in general. It really depends on how the first bump goes. When something goes sideways, if we lose some momentum, how does he respond to that? Pick it back up, kind of like Miz did after a few off days earlier in the season. Like, hey, if you come back hot, oh, then you've got me hooked.
I think that you guys are right on the right track. And Terang is what I meant earlier. I think what's important to note here is I know that every time the Brewers have, especially a position player break out, you wonder, well, is this a future Dodger? Is it a future Yankee? And the answer is probably. The Brewers aren't going to break the bank for any one position player. They did that with Christian Yelich, and I think there's probably some regret in that. Granted, he's a franchise icon, right? And they can hang his banner in the stadium. People generally like him, but I think that the Brewers have done in order to keep the top players has been much more shrewd, and that is they're signing guys before they even get to the majors. They're signing these mega 8-year deals to keep guys in a Brewers uniform. I think Jackson Chourio, the other guys that they've done this with, where they get them locked in early, they skip arbitration, and they go right into a long-term deal. And I think that's where the Brewers have been, kind of, I dare to say, been a little bit of pioneers in this, because they recognize where they are as a small market franchise, recognizing that the owner's probably not going to break the bank again for a guy. I mean, Terang is going to be a guy who's going to get, at this point, you're talking a 9-figure contract. Brewers aren't shelling that out. I just don't see it.
No, absolutely not. Especially while, like you said, they're signing guys early. They've got Yelich's contract, which maybe he would be good enough about it to restructure a little bit, to maybe free up a little bit of space. I don't know that that's really an option, though. Jackson Chourio, you're obviously paying a lot for, and you're going to be paying a lot for a long time. I believe he signed an 8-year deal, I think, and I believe that was 2 years ago, so I think he's got another 6 years or so with the Brew Crew. I don't remember if it's Cooper Pratt or Jet Williams or both who are currently in the farm that have got big signings. But yeah, and that too might be another that might be another push to potentially pull up one of them for that left side of the infield, maybe, because you're already spending so much money on them. And I don't know what Ortiz's contract looks like, Jimmy. I don't know if you do.
I mean, just to the point, though, rather than diving into the minutia of like what's in the contract, sure. Just to the point, the way the Brewers operate is it's not going to be something where they're going to lock into somebody $180 million over 5 years, whatever it is, and say, well, this is our star. It's our homegrown prospect. These are guys that they're going to flip, and they're going to bring in more prospects, and you're going to have the same conversation 5 years from now for the guys they trade for. I like I said, they've done a really good job on this in sustaining the competitive ability of the franchise. And I think that model probably can't change for someone for an organization like the Brewers in MLB, where, again, there's famously not a salary cap or a salary floor. So this is what they do to stay competitive and stay in this. Great. I'm curious about your thoughts on this, because I know for you, roster building is a passion, maybe a hobby, probably both for you. Just curious what your thoughts are here.
Yeah, I'm really thinking just about that interior left side of the infield, whether they make any moves at shortstop or third base. Other than that, I'm comfortable with their methods. You've got to play a certain amount of small ball when you don't have that kind of money. So high success maneuvers and low risk, you don't have. You just can't spend. So it really kind of feels to me like they're in a straitjacket. Their hands are tied, whatever lingo you want to use. But what they're doing is working right now. So it's tough for me to argue with anything when you've got results like this.
There is something to be said, too, though, about they have pushed the right buttons, right? Like, I don't really know how many misses you can find.
I think about that, too. There really aren't a lot. I mean, and it feels like not only with how they've acquired players, but also in how they've developed players and managed them once they get to the major league. I feel like that there's a lot of credit in there with the coaching staff.
Well, and that's really what I meant, Jimmy. Thank you for saying it much better than I meant, is that with the limitations you've got as a small budget team, you've got a shorter list of tools to try to deal with an opponent. That's all there is to it. You've got to find a way to succeed with smaller. And I think the Brewers are kind of leading the league right now among small market teams in that exact category. Tough to quantify, but am I crazy? Am I out of left field on that one?
I don't think so. And I think that at least the Brewers are leading the league in that, and not, you know, say the Chicago Cubs are leading the league in, you know, better luck next year. So, oh man, I'm sorry. Everybody south of the border is throwing things at their car.
Brutal.
I'm breaking all the car consoles today.
Yeah, that's okay.
As a Brewers fan, I will say that if you want to find Chicago, just like on a map, you find Milwaukee, then look down. So there you go. I'm going to leave you with that. How about that? Why don't we end the segment on a banger that I saw at a random viral Brewers fan page on Facebook like 3 days ago. I'm going to leave you with that. We do have some seriousness in terms of sports and some legitimacy, and that is Mike Clemens, who's going to join the program and share with us a recap of the week in sports, and he's going to do that coming up in our very next segment. But for now, we'll take a quick break and be right back. It is Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time to wrap up Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we have a couple of minutes before we let Mike Clemens, we allow him to wrap up the week in sports, because, you know, he's our legit sports guy. We got to make room for him. But we'll go to you guys first. Any final thoughts here on this Memorial Day weekend in sports?
I'm really excited. I'm going to be heading out to Miller Park. Yes, that's what it's called. I'm going to be heading out to Milwaukee on a Monday on Memorial Day. Going to be enjoying some Dollar Dogs. Dollar Dog Day. Got to love Dollar Dog Day at the ballpark. Really excited to see the Brewers taking on the Cardinals, it is. And I think, I'm not positive, I think I'm going to see Mizorowski pitching, which I think unintentionally I have done probably three times in the last five games I've been to. So
looking forward to seeing the post about the 999 challenge you're about to complete. So looking forward,
man,
to that, Parker.
No problem. I'll do it. $9 for nine dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Your turn.
For me, you know, without personal experience in the military, but with immediate family there, of course, Memorial Day is heavy on my mind, but in a positive way, if you will, because it's an opportunity for me to reflect on the opportunities I've had because of what other people have done. You know, it's okay to have an all right time on a somber weekend. I just hope people are safe and thoughtful about it. And those two things in combination, have a good time, do it safely, and keep in mind how it's possible, how it got this way.
That's incredibly well said. And that for me will be what my focus will be on Monday. You know, I have a lot, I have three siblings that have been in the military, both my grandparents, grandpas, I should say, you know, uncles, aunts. So big military ties in my family, but Memorial Day is one where I don't call them and say thanks. It's about remembering the people who have given the ultimate sacrifice. On the lighter note, in terms of sports, you'll find me probably with motorsports in the background, boring the heck out of my kids and wife and dogs. For me, it's just a way to kind of turn my brain off on a three-day weekend and enjoy it. But guys, we got to make way for Mike. Appreciate your time this weekend, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks Jimmy.
Have a good weekend.
It is Make the Call, Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Clemens now with a rundown of the weekend sports right here.
A big week for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with a look at this week in Wisconsin sports. Baseball, the Brewers wrapped up in Minnesota last weekend after a series win against the Twins and headed to Wrigley Field in Chicago, where the Cubs had a 15-game winning streak going on at their home field. Game one, the Brewers ended that streak with a 9-3 win over the Cubs, ending their second longest winning streak at home in 126 years, dating back to 1900. Game two was a masterpiece for the Wiz, Jacob Mizorowski, who pitched six scoreless innings after his team's offense jumped out to an early lead.
I saw the guys on the other side doing their job, so it was one of those things that, like, I got to figure out my stuff and do my job on my side.
The Brewers winning that one 5-2. The next night, It was Milwaukee's new left-handed pitcher, Kyle Harrison, who said it was so windy that night, he and catcher William Contreras were convinced the Cubs would not be able to hit one out of the park, so he threw 64 fastballs out of a possible 94 pitches to toss a 5-0 shutout to complete the three-game sweep. Harrison on the game plan.
Honestly, I was just like, you know, let's, wind's blowing in, let's attack these guys and have them get some flyouts. And William was just on the same page with me. He's like, hey, ball in the air isn't out today. So just kept attacking with the heater and tried to stay ahead.
On offense, a crazy play as the Brewers' speedy David Hamilton knocked one to center field. The ball bobbled by the Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong, and Hamilton rounded the bases.
And a line drive back up the middle. That'll work. Frelick sets around third. The ball gets away from Crow Armstrong. That'll score Ortiz. Hamilton's on the move. Hamilton being waved. Still being waved. Here's the throw. Save! David Hamilton with a little league homer here at Wrigley.
David Hamilton hits a base hit up the middle and gets by PCA and comes all the way around from home plate to score.
That was ruled a single by fielder error. The Cubs PCA, on committing a costly error, a second night in a row.
It's just up to me to turn that stuff around and, you know, I'm saving energy not going in there and slamming a bunch of stuff and making a scene when I really don't feel like I got that right to right now.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, he made a mistake. He made a bad play, and it was a costly play.
Ever hit one like that before, David Hamilton?
You know, I probably had one in college, high school, something like that, but I was hoping it would get out of here. But, the wind was pretty crazy today.
So the Cubs ended up losing 3 in a row to Milwaukee at the friendly confines and giving up first place to the Brewers.
You know, when you don't swing the bats and you don't score a run, a baseball game doesn't look good for your side. You know, we're in a funk right now, and you know it's up to us to change it. You know, we're the ones who are going to change it.
Now this weekend, the Brewers wrapping it up at home against the World Series champion, the Los Angeles Dodgers. On Friday night, Brewers catcher William Contreras got the party started early with his first at bat. Jeff Levering.
Contreras now. Gate and swing it. His fourth of the season and just the third allowed by Robleski all year.
An absolute blast. On the first pitch, it was a slider.
After the game, I asked Contreras, was that his best performance at the plate so far this year?
It's more a question about just doing my job. You know, I went out there looking for a fastball and ready for the fastball, and threw a slider there. I was able to adjust and make good contact.
A reporter from Los Angeles asked Pat Murphy, after being eliminated in the playoffs by the Dodgers last year, is this Brewers Club hungry for revenge this weekend at American Family Field?
Yeah, I mean, they're hungry to win. I promise you that. You know, anytime you can beat the Dodgers, you know, anytime you can beat the Dodgers, a team of that stature, that's got to build something inside of you about our team.
NBA, the league, and the Bucks fans have been listening to an interview with Bucks center Miles Turner about players not showing up on time this season under head coach Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers, he didn't find anybody. Guys were late all the time. Guys were, you know, showing up to film whenever they wanted to show up. Guys were missing meetings. Like, it was one of the craziest things I personally ever experienced.
So who's the teammate that's most likely to be late?
Giannis. Giannis is going to show up whenever he wants.
So is Doc Rivers to blame for the losing season, or Giannis not being ready? Bucks reporter Jim Ozarski.
Doc clearly thought this was a team that could handle that. And very clearly, they couldn't. I don't know if he tried as the year went on to rein it back in. But at that point, you start losing the cats out of the bag. Did Doc ever lose the team? Did Doc lose the team? And I always struggled with that answer because you kind of go with what you see, what you hear. But clearly, he'd never had the team.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.